Wildlife agencies in the Upper Peninsula are standing watch against a sickness in deer that could threaten the region's share of a $2.3 billion hunting industry. Chronic wasting disease is an infectious degenerative brain disease in deer and other cervids, first discovered in Colorado in 1967. CWD has since spread to 24 states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. In Michigan, a total of 10 cases have been discovered downstate, while so far the Upper Peninsula deer population remains unaffected. However, infected deer have been found in Wisconsin, just 30 miles from the UP line. We'll look at what's being done to combat CWD in Michigan next on Media Meat. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests represent the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. They are State Natural Resources Commissioner J.R. Richardson, Upper Peninsula Wildlife Supervisor Terry Minzy, District 1 Law Supervisor Lieutenant Pete Wright, and Deputy Public Information Officer John Pepin. Welcome. Let's begin with something about your jobs and how they intersect with programs or measures related to CWD. Chronic wasting disease. Let's begin with you. You're on the policy end of this.
I'm on the policy and I'm a natural resource commissioner. It's my 11th year and Basically what we're going to do with the CWD is try to take all the biology that's been going around through the, you know, the various sources that we put out there and look at the social aspects of this and try to wade our way through to set policy for the state. And we're all about prevention. And once we get there, we have to all be on the same page to do the right thing at the right time.
Prevention entails some public interaction as well, and I know you see a lot of that.
Yeah, we're all about partnering, you know. I mean, It's, you know, without our partners, you know, we have the biology and we have the science, and what we need is to partner with our different outdoor groups, with the whitetail groups and with the, you know, different outdoor organizations to get the word out, you know. And the more people that know about it and the more people that know how it works and how it spread, the better off we're going to be as UP residents and our more healthy of a herd we're going to have. So,
okay. Terry, wildlife supervisor for the UP is a pretty big job. Tell us about that and the connection to CWD.
So JR's on the policy end, we're on the operations end. Okay. It's our job to understand the biology of the disease, the epidemiology, how the disease transmits, to develop recommendations for plans for combating the disease, for monitoring the disease and testing. And so we will make recommendations to the NRC and we'll implement some practices to help us get a better handle on the disease, understand where it's at, how it's spreading, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Pete, law enforcement.
Sure, we're more on the enforcement end of things and in addition to that, also an educational aspect, and we support the other divisions. So Law Division is, without Law Division, you know, you wouldn't have people following the laws, but without Wildlife Division, you wouldn't have the deer, and without Fish Division, you wouldn't have the fish. So it's kind of a collaborative effort.
Sure.
We all work together.
Sure. Okay, John, a little something about the public information aspect of this.
Well, I was part of the initial efforts that started in 2015 to sort of focus on keep the UPCWD free.
Okay.
And through that and working with Wildlife Division and, as JR said, our partners, we've come up with a lot of educational materials, billboards and information sheets, and working with UP Whitetails, we've got a public service announcement that we're going to hear now.
Okay.
Planning a hunt out of the UP for deer, elk, or moose? There are 25 states, along with Alberta and Saskatchewan, Canada, that have chronic wasting disease. By law, you cannot bring back a full animal skull. You may only bring back the antlers with clean skull plate, hide, and processed meat. And fines do apply. On behalf of UP Whitetails Association, keep the UP CWD free.
For more information on chronic wasting disease, contact your local DNR office.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a lot of educating the public and getting the word out about the disease and how it can impact the deer herd in the Upper Peninsula, and how, as J.R. said, prevention. We don't want it here.
Right. For those unfamiliar with it, can we get a brief description of chronic wasting disease, its cause, how it's contracted, and how one might recognize it?
Okay, so maybe the first step here is to tell them what it's not.
Okay.
It's not a bacteria. Mm-hmm. It's not a virus. It's not what you would consider a living system. It's an inert protein molecule that gets misfolded, and when it comes in contact with normal protein molecules, it will cause them to misshape. What it does is it impacts the nervous system and the brain, and will cause a honeycomb effect inside the brain. So if people think of mad cow disease and what happened with mad cow disease 15 years ago, mm-hmm. this is the deer version of mad cow disease. Human diseases that people will recognize that are similar are Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Wow. And there's a human prion disease also called Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, which is really analogous to this.
Okay. Can CWD be treated or controlled in wildlife?
The answer is no. Okay. No, this stuff is passed through urine, feces, saliva. It gets into the environment. We don't know of any shelf life on it. It can be taken up into grass plants such as corn, alfalfa, wheat, and barley, and then the deer can eat that and get infected. So if you have a bait pile that's been in the same place for 30 years, and we all know that deer will defecate and urinate in their dinner plate, okay. It could get into the soils there. You could have a sick deer there five years ago, and another deer can pick up the disease today.
Okay.
It's a persistent, clunky molecule.
It is.
It's really one of the most interesting things to read about. What's the role of DNR Wildlife Disease Lab in all these efforts? You see it mentioned every once in a while.
So the Wildlife Disease Lab is a part of Wildlife Division, and they really are the people who understand the epidemiology, in other words, how this disease gets transmitted and advanced through the environment. They help us to establish the boundaries where we're going to be working on this disease. They do the testing, the initial testing. So when we collect heads, which we're going to be doing this year, we send them down to Lansing. They'll do the initial test to see if chronic wasting disease is prevalent in that animal. If their initial test says it is, then they will send those tests on to Ames, Iowa, and there's three more steps before we come up with a definitive answer.
Okay. Studies show more infected male deer than females. Is that a factor in efforts to control CWD?
Certainly. Okay. And so folks know that's not a genetic thing. It's not a sexual thing. That's a behavioral transmission route.
Okay.
So bucks will get together in bachelor groups in the summertime, and in those bachelor groups they'll lick and groom one another. Then, as we all know, in the fall during the rut, they go and they interact with numerous does and they interact with them. So they're more exposed. They get more exposure. And so the studies show that those older bucks, the ones that, you know, the let them go, let them grow mantra, everybody wants to shoot an older buck. Those are going to be the animals that have the most opportunity to pass this disease on throughout the population. So in those areas where we're dealing with chronic wasting disease right now, you will not see antler point restrictions because those older bucks are a transmission route more so than the other animals.
And part of this has to do with whatever the incubation period is up to the point where they show signs, right?
Well, right. So an animal can contract this disease, and it takes about 2 months from the time they contract it to the time they can start passing off the prion into the environment through the saliva, through the urine and feces, but they can live up to 3 or 4 more years.
Okay.
And so folks won't recognize that this animal is sick until the last 6 or 8 weeks of life. Otherwise, it looks like a very normal, healthy animal. And so these bucks can have this disease for 3 years and be passing that prion to all the does that they interact with the other bucks that they interact with. So they're really a vector, if you will, one of the better vectors for passing this disease on.
Okay. While CWD appears to be exclusively confined to deer and cervids like moose and elk, there are fatal degenerative brain diseases, as you mentioned, that have a similar cause in humans. The one you mentioned is Creutzfeldt-Jakob. In Wisconsin, there have been 13 cases of that recorded in the past 4 years. And nationally, it's increased 85% to 481 cases since 2002 when CWD first turned up in Wisconsin. These may not be related, but they have occurred over the same time period. Have those observations raised any alarms in Michigan?
They're raising alarms in a lot of places. Right now, we have not seen any evidence that humans can get chronic wasting disease.
Okay.
That being said, that's the same thing that they said about mad cow disease, you know, 20 years ago, and we know that that crossed the barrier. There's not a, it will be hard for people to get it, yeah. But there's not a definitive barrier. So folks are always looking at those relationships and watching closely what's going on. That being said, the Center for Disease Control has been watching this closely, and they've not found yet where it has crossed the species barrier into people.
Okay.
But they are recommending that if you get a deer that tests positive for CWD, you do not eat it.
Okay. I know there was some concern at the federal level after a Canadian laboratory found that macaque monkeys who were fed mm-hmm. CWD material of some kind, you know, infected deer, became, you know, were shown to be vulnerable. That means that primates can get it. And one's fairly close to us genetically, is that true?
Yes. So the first studies were done with squirrel monkeys, mm-hmm. and they showed a high susceptibility to getting the disease. So then they moved on to doing studies with macaques, which are, they have about 90% of the human genomes.
Okay.
So they're much more closer to people. They've got one study out in Canada. It has not been published yet, so people are waiting to see what the methods are. But they had two monkeys. They started out with 18 monkeys. So far, they've euthanized 5. They've got 13 more to finish studying on. But of those 5, 2 of them were just physically fed contaminated venison.
Okay.
And they develop clinical signs of the disease, and so they were euthanized and tested and had contracted the disease. This has got the scientific community really talking right now.
Okay. Let's look at chronic wasting disease in Michigan and the overall plan to address it. All 10 cases identified so far appear to be, and I understand there's an 11th pending perhaps, appear to be in four or five county area downstate. When and where were they first discovered, and do we know where the disease agent originally came from and how it spread?
No, so the first case of CWD in Michigan in this round was found down in the Lansing area in Meridian Township. It's a very, very urban area.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very sickly deer that was going from bird feeder to bird feeder, and we got a call. Township police went out and euthanized it and found that it was infected. Since then, we have found, like you said, 9 more animals and a tenth consecutive animal pending. That we're
okay.
Yeah. It'll be 11 total from the index. Then 10 more. The last one we're waiting for final confirmation. It's gone through 3 of the tests. We're waiting for final confirmation. It will come back as CWD positive. We're confident of that. We don't know where this originated from. If you look at it, it's dead center east to west on the state, and it's 100 miles north of the border. We suspect that maybe somebody brought in carcasses and dumped them. There was a carcass dump nearby. Law Division did a look at how many people went hunting in CWD-infected areas that year, and it was within 5 miles of where that animal came from. It was in the 400s or something, right, Pete?
I can't remember the exact number, but it was a surprisingly high number.
Right.
And it first showed up in a privately owned cervid facility? Is that right?
The very first case we saw in Michigan was in a privately owned facility in Kent County.
Okay.
And we went in and we euthanized all the deer in that facility, tested them all, and that was the only deer that came out of there.
Okay.
Now, the latest two animals are in Montcalm County, which is between the Lansing area where we found those deer. One other point that should be made,
mm-hmm.
Only the very first deer appeared sick. All of the rest of the animals looked very healthy. Yeah. We didn't suspect anything when people shot those deer. They brought them in to be tested, and they turned out to be contaminated.
Okay. They emphasize it. They've shot Boone and Crockett deer that have tested positive for CWD. So, you know, don't be fooled by you have to look for a sickly deer. It's not what it is.
Right.
How
right.
about the? What about new cases at private game operations or things to ensure that such facilities are disease free? We have policy things related to that now.
We do. That's under the Department of Agriculture.
Oh, I see.
And okay. You know, one other point that we should make: we did have in Mecosta County, which is the Big Rapids area, a case where we had a privately owned cervid facility there that turned in two deer heads that were infected.
Okay.
All the deer have been euthanized in there. We did not find any more. So we don't know what's going on there. But there are import bans to keep deer coming in from out of state. There are fencing regulations up to try to keep this out.
Okay.
Invariably, they have not proven 100% successful.
All right. Let me take a moment here to remind our viewers, and especially our radio listeners, that we're talking about chronic wasting disease with State Natural Resources Commissioner J.R. Richardson, Upper Peninsula Wildlife Supervisor Terry Minzi, District 1 Law Supervisor Lieutenant Pete Wright, and Deputy Public Information Officer John Beppin. The effort to combat CWD in Michigan has been ongoing since 2015, when the first case was confirmed. At that time, an emergency response plan was initiated. It's a difficult reading. since then, a core area was established, along with other measures. Now, what was the original approach, and how has the plan developed since for the affected area or even for the state?
So the original plan was to go in, and we found that first sick deer that people mm-hmm. turned us on to. Then we had to do a population estimate. We needed to find out how many deer we needed to sample in order to get assurance that the disease wasn't spreading or there wasn't more of it out there. So we had to do a population survey. We did that. We developed a number. I think we had a couple thousand deer that we needed to sample based on the population size. Then we started pulling deer out of the population. We hired wildlife services to go out and shoot deer
okay.
so that we could sample them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we found more infected deer, then we expanded our core area. We made a 9-township zone. So the center that being that index case, and every time we found another animal, then we expanded out so that we had 3 townships on either side of the animal.
Okay.
So now we're going to have to do the same thing over in Montcalm County.
I see. What was the response from the NRC when this stuff was passed around, when this information was passed around?
Well, you know, what we wanted to do is make sure everybody knew, you know, how do you communicate it, how do you get out to all the partners, and how do we communicate that statewide. And, you know, one of the things that we came through to us is we were at a Upper Peninsula Sportsmen's Association meeting, and in my mind, and I think in Terry's mind, and a lot of people's, and John's, and Pete's mind, is that a lot of people just didn't know a lot about this disease, and it was,
yeah.
like, off the radar completely. And what we thought is we should have a UP task force to look at this, and we developed that in order to reach out to all the stakeholders, basically, and that's what we did. And that, I think, spawned a statewide symposium that came out to get all the national experts involved in, you know, what do we have to do, what do we have to look at, and, you know, what exactly has to be done in Michigan, because, you know, we all know that once it gets a foothold on your state, it's going to be a problem. And what anything we can do to keep, you know, our goal in the UP is keep it out. Prevention. And what we did, and I think they had a 2-day symposium downstate that we conducted, and they have put together a task force, and they're going to give us a recommendation by the end of the year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take that with the UP task force that we put together with all these stakeholders, and then we're going to try to decide what's got to be done, how can we do it. And it, you know, it involves a lot of different things, because you don't want to alienate the hunter and the hunter population.
And you're
with baiting and feeding.
You're going to need the input of landowners and other people like that. Right?
And without them, we have nothing. You know, we can, you know, you can make all the laws you want, and you can do all the, you know, things, prevention things you want. But if the normal person owns the land, hunts the deer, and does the baiting and feeding, doesn't buy into what you're selling, you don't have anything. So.
Okay. And Pete, you guys were probably called to the fore right away to start looking for problems.
Yes, for sure. You know, we do targeted patrols on the border looking for deer being imported in. And on the educational component, you know, we've been visiting with commercial deer processors and taxidermists and people that take in large amounts of deer. And just like JR saying, we're trying to get buy-in from the public and from the processors and the taxidermists because, you know, we can only do so much. And we need to help the help of the public and these commercial processors and taxidermists in combating this.
That's a good thing to bring up, that there's so many places where this, where something could be done, you know, to halt the spread. What about deer hunters themselves and disposing of the carcasses?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big deals is getting rid of the carcasses. And we had talked before we were going to come on the program, and I think Terry can talk a bit about it. But, you know, even, you know, we were even talking about it for baiting for different, for coyotes and things, is that, you know, if it's an infected deer and it starts spreading around the landscape, you're not doing the state of Michigan or the Upper Peninsula a favor by letting it spread that way. So we're talking about taking those carcasses, not throwing them in the swamp behind your house, but putting them in a, you know, in a landfill where that's going to be taken care of. So, I mean, and I would say when you're sitting in your deer camps, you're talking about this, you get all your friends to take those deer, dispose them in the right places, or else you're not helping. So.
Right.
So if I can just throw something in,
just
so people understand the importance of this, there are portions of Wyoming right now where this disease first ballooned up. They're predicting the extinction of both their mule deer and white-tailed deer herd as a result of chronic wasting disease.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people think that this is a made-up disease or this is something that's been here for forever. That's not the case. And if we don't handle this thing right and handle it now, 30 to 50 years down the road, there may not be deer here to hunt.
Okay.
So when folks wonder whether they should worry about what they're going to shoot next year, if they really care about their kids and their grandkids and the future of our environment, they want to be thinking about, too, what is going to be our legacy as a hunting community for those future generations. Will they have the same opportunities?
It's not the kind of thing you get a second chance at.
No.
You know? Wisconsin's, you know, has been really affected. 18 affected counties, that is 18 counties where infected deer have been discovered. But there seems to be a problem, according to the press there. Last hunting season, 65,000 deer taken in the core area were not tested.
Right.
And it's not an encouraging picture. What about cross-border efforts to improve that?
So we don't have an agreement with Wisconsin on the border, but we are starting a deer movement study this year. We will be out in the West UP trapping and GPS collaring deer to find out how they move, where they move, and so that if it does come across our border, and it may be here now. Our reality in this disease is we have places where we know there's the disease, and we have places where we can't prove that it's not there.
I see.
That's our reality. So we're going to start a massive movement study that eventually will cover the entire Upper Peninsula so that if we get this disease in the UP, we will be able to isolate those subpopulations, if you will, that we need to be testing and looking at.
Very quickly.
Right.
There seems to be a big public relations problem in Wisconsin between hunters and the state, and there seem to be a lot of differences of opinion as to how serious this is and everything. John, have you been called upon to communicate with those people on public information programs or kept track of them or anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically what we've wanted to do here in the Upper Peninsula is try to, despite what may or may not be happening in Wisconsin, get out ahead of this as much as we can. And JR convening the UP CWD task force, that was important in the sense that, you know, if it happened, to be here, that we would have sportsmen and other groups in the public already knowing what the disease was about and what measures might have to be taken. And also, the task force served to help people in Lansing understand, too, the differences in the UP, for example, the migratory aspect of deer in the Upper Peninsula as opposed to downstate. And
also how our counties are so big, one of the recommendations from the task force was that instead of using counties for the wider zone area that you want, they recommended using townships and also a smaller core area.
I see. Okay.
So
a smaller grid is what you're looking for.
Right,
at.
And yeah. Getting to talk.
Tighter grid.
Getting these issues squared away among sportsmen's groups and hunters ahead of time before the disease would ever even get here, I think, is a big step forward. And the education measures, getting sportsmen's groups and other hunters to not only educate themselves but educate others and get on board with it has really been helpful here. Billboards alongside the Wisconsin border. Wow. We'll be putting up some messages at the Mackinac Bridge, reminding hunters about how we're urging you not to bring a carcass up to the Upper Peninsula.
That brings up some good questions for hunters here. Some of the implications of the CWD plan for hunters and other stakeholders. How about some short answer questions? What does this mean for hunters who harvest deer during the season who take a deer in another state?
As far as importation, the easiest answer is, you can't bring in a whole deer. Okay. We're trying to stay away from the brain and spinal tissue, you bring in quartered animals and deboned meat, things like that, but not anything that with the head or the spinal column.
What about people who salvage fresh roadkill? Thousands of car deer accidents a year in Michigan.
It depends on where you're at. I know if you're down in the core area, downstate, you're mandatory submission of the head for testing.
Okay. How about baiting and feeding?
Well, right now, I guess what we would suggest is that people think about what they're doing. There's no law against baiting and feeding right now as it stands. That's certainly, well, let me take that back. In the lower peninsula, in the core area, it's banned.
Okay.
Up here in the UP, there's been no changes, but that's part of what this study that we're talking about and the grids. Because of the movement behavior of deer in the UP, our deer are much more susceptible. Folks need to be prepared, if we get the disease in that area, that we're going to be taking a real strong look at baiting and feeding, because we know that bringing those deer together where they can swap saliva, where they can urinate and defecate in close proximity, and they're all feeding off the same foodstuff, is a vector. That's a huge problem for spreading this disease. So what I would suggest is people start thinking about what is their role. This isn't a DNR problem.
Yeah.
This is a community problem, and what is their role, and what practices are they partaking in that could exacerbate this problem? Because like I said, we may have it here. We don't know that we don't. We're praying that we don't, but we don't know that we don't. Okay. So why do and participate in behaviors that could ultimately lead to the demise of the population if you don't have to?
All right.
I mean, we kind of have the perfect storm in a way because, we have high snowfall. We have a lot of predators. We don't have as many paper mills. We don't do as much cutting. We have deer yards where the deers have to go. So everybody's going to the same place. And now we put in vectors like, CWD. So it's there's a lot of opportunity for those deer to go nose to nose. And part of the baiting and feeding problem is if you don't feed deer in high snowfall areas, suddenly you have a lot of deer dying off because they're starving to death, so you don't have anything to manage. And also, it's a culture in the UP for baiting and feeding.
Okay.
And it's very difficult. So
I'm afraid we have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about chronic wasting disease with State Natural Resources Commissioner J.R. Richardson, Upper Peninsula Wildlife Supervisor Terry Minzy, District 1 Law Supervisor Lieutenant Pete Wright, and Deputy Public Information Officer John Pennon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.